children. I thank the Lord for his people. You know, as Pastor said, that is so right. We just don't know. We don't understand how much God loves us. And you can walk around and you can be down and things could be going on in your life and you try to stand like we all do. But I thank God for his people because about a week or so, about 2 or 3 weeks in a row, this individual has been really inspiring me. You know, I mean, just the, what the world would call the energy that's in this person. And I said it's the power that's in this person. And as I listen to this person, praise the Lord, come in happy, come on the phone. I mean, just happy. I'm like, Lord, she's lifting my spirit. Every time I get on the phone, she's lifting my spirit. And when one night I was on there, it's like something just broke off of me because of this individual. And I thank God for her. You know, she just, I know y'all wondering who it is. tell it, Al. But I know it's the power of God that was working because God saw where I was at. He know I needed a boost. I needed some reviving in my spirit. You know, I needed awakening, another touch of God. And I'll tell that person at the end of the service. But I truly thank the Lord for his people. And I thank God for just putting the love of God inside of me. You know, this thing happened once before where I got my days mixed up. Yes, it did, brother. It was, God had given me a word to preach one time. And man, I was so eager. I've never been this eager to come up here and preach before in my life. You know, sometimes, you know, when you know, a lot of times when Pastor Wallace, I know it's my time. You know, I get a little nervous, you know. I'm always nervous when it comes to God to stand before his people. I want to make sure I'm doing what's right. I want to make sure I'm saying what God wants me to say. I don't want to have the confidence in this flesh. I want to have my confidence in God. And so this particular time, I was confident in God. I mean, I was ready to go. I got up that morning. Man, I came to church. Well, I'm always the first one. Not always, but most of the time I'm the first one here. I looked around. Ain't nobody here yet. And so I just walked and praised God, my mind on what he want me to tell. And I walked back there in the back, looked at the clock. I'm like, man, where is everybody? Pastor normally be here about this time. Nobody came. She didn't come. I'm like, man, it's after 11 o'clock. What's going on? I said, well, I begin to walk and pray. Say, well, if Pastor here, maybe something's wrong. So I begin to pray for Pastor. Should have been praying for myself, praying for the saints, because if something wrong with her, then the people are going to be where she is. And man, I was like, what is going on? So I had service. I even collected tithes. Well, that's how, I said, Lord, I'm doing the whole thing. You know, I said, Lord, I'm showing you now. It ain't about the people. I'm showing you now. I get home, I walk in with my little briefcase and all that, and my wife said, where you been? I'm like, where you been? I said, where is everybody? And she's like, what are you talking about, Al? I said, well, nobody at church today. She said, today's Saturday. I said, today is not Saturday. I said, it's not Saturday. Today is Sunday. I said, you missing it. You missing it. Bro. Man, I'm like, let me call and check on pastors. Pastor, what's today's Saturday. I'm like, no, today is not. Brother, yeah, saints, it wasn't Saturday. But it turned out to be it was Saturday. Man, I was so eager to get to the house of the Lord. Last Wednesday, I'm like, man, whew, we get to go to prayer tonight. I didn't look at my phone. I heard something say, bleep, bleep. Now, what is pastor doing on Uber today? She's supposed to be at church. And I'm driving, going, coming out here to church. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I couldn't wait to get to the house of God. I know God don't live in here. I know he don't, but it's just something about being amongst his people. Fellowshipping with the saints. I know that there is power amongst the people. There is, my inheritance is amongst you all. You know? And so, I pass, I'm driving and my son and my wife pass me. Bump, bump. I'm like, no, where are they? What's going on? You know? And I said, let me pull over in this gas station and call Pat and see why she on Uber on the conference. And Spirit of the Lord say, the first Wednesday in June. I said, oh Lord, forgive me, God. Forgive me, Pastor. I'm like, you supposed to be at church. But I was just so happy when they said, it's time to go to church. You know, I'm so glad, not that I'm got this microphone, but you know, I'm so glad to be in the house of God. I mean, man, I thought I would never, never, ever, ever feel that way. I mean, God is just so good. God knows exactly what we need, saints of God. God knows what to do and when to do it and how to do what he wants to do. So I praise God for just putting this love, his love down inside of me that I love the Lord today. I said, Lord, I want to love you. I'm going to serve you until the day I die. So I just thank the Lord for being here this morning. I don't know where my wife at. I'm like, well, today is Sunday because I see y'all. I know I ain't off today because the saints are here today. I'm like, what's going on? So I just praise the Lord this morning. He is so good. Good to see you all. And be encouraged, saints. If I had to say anything to you all out there in here, to the saints of God, the people of God, with what's going on in the world. I mean, it's always been going on, but it just seems like the enemy is trying to press us out of measure. The enemy's trying to get us do things, think things, feel things that we ought not to have inside of us. You know, but I believe this. I'm smiling at this time. I don't know about, I told Pastor, I said, Lord, I don't feel nothing but peace about all that. I mean, it's a whole lot of chaos going on. Whole lot of injustice going on. God ain't pleased with the killing. Be it a white man killing a black man. Be it a black man killing a black man. God ain't pleased about none of this blood spreading. You know, all of it's the same to me. A loss of life is a loss of life, but we know that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to conquer and divide. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to divide right now. And none of it, this stuff is right. God ain't pleased with the killing. He sure ain't pleased with the burning. He don't like none of it. He don't like none of it. So be encouraged, saints. Know that God got something. As Keith used to say, God got something up his sleeve. And ain't no tricks either. You know, God works by his power. God got something brewing. God is finna do something in this day and this hour. God is finna do something. I don't know what I believe I know what he's doing. What the saints have been talking about. God finna revive this place. He is. It's got to be a revival. It's got to be a reviving of the people. You know, the people got to come back. You know, yeah, we want this revival. It's got to be the Spirit of God that's going to fall on everybody. But God is showing me something that, what you all know too. God is going to make, he's going to make a new man out of all of these, all this stuff that's going on. God's going to make that new man that he talked about. He is going to do it. He's got to do it because he said it. His word ain't going to return to him void. So be encouraged, saints of God. You know that God is not slack concerning none of his promises. Not one. Not one. If we don't believe him, the Bible says, he can say, I can't deny myself. I remain faithful to my word. You know, so we can't be faithful all the time, but God stays faithful. He's going to always be faithful. So what God said is going to have to happen. So get ready, whether you want it to or not, it's going to happen. It's got to happen. You know, so God is, I just thank him this morning. Come on, give God one more good praise offering. We're going to take the tithes and the offering. Give him a clap offering right now. You can give him a wave offering. You know, give God an offering this morning. A sacrifice of praise. And sometimes right now in this time, it is a sacrifice to give God a praise. It is. With your body hurting and all this other stuff that's going on, it's a sacrifice. You know, but you got to do it anyway. You know, it's commanded of us to do it. We bet not be caught doing something else. God forbid. Y'all see Brother Al down there in Ferguson running out with a television. You know, God gonna show you out. He gonna show up on you. God forbid he see you walking around to no justice, no peace. Those are the things that we used to do. Those are the things that was in us. You know? But we have what it takes. I believe somebody said it this morning. It's inside of us. We're supposed to have this gospel. We're supposed to be bringing good tidings of glad things. You know? The gospel of peace. And that's what we're looking for, peace. You know, so I just thank the Lord again for just being God. And man, I'm so glad he God and nobody and nothing else. Because if anybody else or something else was, we'd be in trouble. I thank God for God and his provision. I praise him for it this morning. And good to see everybody this morning. Thank God for my pastor. Let me stand in her stead. As always, got to acknowledge my leader, my pastor of Revival Center Fellowship, who has, she was, I'm just going to say my mama. Yeah, I call her, Bridget call her mother. Mommy. She's my mama. You know, my mama, she was the midwife that birthed me into this thing. You know what I mean? She, you know, we had a midwife. Somebody prayed us in this thing. Somebody brought us, you just ain't pop up in here. You know, somebody prayed you in here. Somebody labored. Somebody cried for you. Somebody lost sleep for you. Somebody gave up things for you. So I thank God for the midwives. I know I had many of them crying out for me. My mama, you know, Rose. I mean, they just cried. I believe I'm still living on the prayers that my mama prayed. I would go in the living room, you know, back then. I don't know how y'all was, but we had a living room and all the furniture was covered in plastic. And the doors stayed closed. And we couldn't go in there. But everybody else come over the house could go in that living room. I'm like, well, that's a good. We want this room to stay clean so we have company. You know, and so my mom would be in there just crying. In this red striped chair. Just crying. And right by the front door. You know, we would pass out. And I hear my brothers and sisters say this too. But I remember, you know, stopping and just listening, and she'd just be crying. I stayed there as long as I could, and I just take on off the door. Didn't know what she was crying and praying for, but now I know. Now I know what she was crying and praying for. She was crying out for us. You know, she was crying out for her children, and most of us are saved. And this one that was on drugs, he come here before. I mean, he left the house when he was 17 years old. He started selling drugs. Did it for a while. Then he got hooked on the stuff. Started sleeping in abandoned houses. And he was a mess. But God came in one day. He said he cried out. And he just surrendered. And God delivered. He said he tried AA. He tried the drugs rehab. He said they had more drugs in the rehab than they had on the street. He said it was so easy for him to get it in the rehab, he didn't have to pay for it, you know. But on the street, you know, you're bad, you ain't got no money to pay for your fix. You know, so he said he go check himself in the rehab where he can go and get it. But one day he said he cried out to God, and God saved his soul, delivered him from the, he didn't have no relapse or nothing. He's doing well. He got married. He's living in Arkansas, doing well. Now he's, when I talk to him, he be preaching. I just listen to him. And I just laid my head down. And I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you, because we cried out, we prayed for our brother. And as I sit here and say that now, I think about what Pastor always called it, the rota call, how they prayed for Peter, and God delivered him out of prison. If we pray, God gonna deliver some folk out of the prison, a prison of whatever they in, prison of drugs, whoremonger, whatever they prison is, God gonna unlock them doors and set them free. God gonna wake them up, just like he woke us up. I didn't do all of that stuff, but I did what I did, and he got me out of my prison. You know, I never thought I'd be standing here. When God saved me, called me out of that club, I thought I was just getting saved. That's it. I'm saved. I did what mama told me to do, and, you know, I'm just want to be saved. But I didn't know all this other stuff was coming behind. When somebody talking about, you're going to be not only a preacher. People talking about, like, yeah, all right. But when somebody said, you're going to be a pastor, I'm like, well, now, Lord, I know what it take. That ain't none of me. Impossible. It can't happen. I'm not the material. I'm like Moses. My speech is not elegant. You know, I don't have what it take, Lord. He said, that's all right. You don't have what it take, but I got what it take. God got what it take for. God got what it take to do what needs to be done down here. It's not us. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And when Christ is in you, you're hoping for the glory of God to come on down in this place. I'm hoping for God to come over and sweep over this. That's my prayer. Lord, sweep over not only the city, sweep over this land, Lord, because I don't care what it is. If it wasn't this stuff that's going on now, it's going to be something else that we're not going to have peace about. I mean, the whole land, when I say the land, I'm talking about this whole circle world is uneasy. There's no peace nowhere. And so when I find myself, I want to watch TV, turn on and I watch nature. I watch the birds and the animal, because the folk, they just, you know, I mean, the animals, man, I find a whole lot of peace and serenity with them. You know, man, you still watching these folk, man, I'm like, Lord, enemy trying to stir up some stuff. So I just praise God this morning. I thank him again for just allowing me to stand before you all. You all continue to pray my strength in the Lord. I'm going to be reading out of the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2. And then I'm going to go over to Nehemiah 4. So glad to see everybody. Well, not everybody, because everybody ain't here. So glad to see the ones that are here. You also that's out there that's tuning in with us, sitting in and with us over the internet. We're so glad that you're back with us this morning. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that you would just use me for a spell, Lord. Use me for a minute, God. God, I pray, Father God, that the flesh, God, will move out of the way, that your spirit, God, will come forth, God. And God, that your spirit, God, will be doing the work inside of me, Father. And I just pray, Father God, that let me decrease, God, and you increase, Father. Use me, Father God. Anoint me, God, for whatever time, God, that you want me to speak, God. And I pray, God, that your word, God, will fall on good ground, God, and energize, oh, God. Power, Father God. Oh, God, bring revival, God, back to your people, Lord. Wake them up, Lord, this morning, God. We need an awakening, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. God, sometimes, God, we go through this stuff, Lord, and we're just love asleep, God. So, God, I'm asking you, Lord, start with me, God. Revive me, Father God. Wake us up this morning, God, so we'll see, God, and hear what you want us to do, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father, give God one more good praise this morning. Hallelujah. And I know that you all know what this is all about. But sometimes it's good to revisit some things. You know, sometimes it's good to go back to the good stuff. You know, we have a tendency of, by nature, by flesh, tendency of going back to all that old bad stuff. As Paul said, like a dog returning to his vomit and a pig to the mire. So it's good sometimes to revisit some things, and I think it's timely. This is what the Lord give me weeks ago. I tried to put it together the best that I knew how. But I'm just so excited about what I believe God is going to do. I keep saying, I believe he's going to do it. I believe God is going to do it. God is not going to just leave this world in shambles. He's not going to leave us in shambles. He's not going to do it. So I'm excited and I'm glad about what God is going to do. I'm going to start the very first verse in Nehemiah 2. Does everybody have it? Amen. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of Xerxes, the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I have been not before time, sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad? When the city, the place of my father's subject, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire. He's saying here's the king's notice that this man of God, Nehemiah, was sad. And he said, well, he looking at him and said, he don't look sick. Don't look like he sweating. He ain't got no fever. It was just something's going on with inside of him. God give him a little insight, too. And he said, this has got to be just a sad of your countenance. And Nehemiah saying, look, why shouldn't I be sad? You know, why shouldn't we be sad today? You know, and I ain't just talking about a group of individuals. I'm talking about why shouldn't the church be sad? I'm talking about the church folk. Why shouldn't we be sad because of what's going on out here in this world? Huh? This is our father's house. Your father, my father. Why shouldn't we be sad? We ought to be. We shouldn't be glad. You know, he could have been glad. Because where Nehemiah was, he was the king's cupbearer. He was in a good place. He's in the palace. You know, he wasn't out there in distress. He wasn't out there what his brothers was going through. So he said, yeah, I'm sad, king. And the king said unto me, for what dost thou request? For what dost thou make the request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's subject, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. He gave the king what time he was going to be. And that's something. He had to have some insight. King said, what time you going to come back? I'm going to let you go, but you got to let me know when you're coming back. Yeah. And the Bible says he gave him a set time. You know, somebody tells me, well, you going to come over, and how long is it going to take? I don't know. I have to see first. He ain't been nowhere. But God gave him an insight. You know, while he was praying, God was telling him, this how long it's going to take. This what you're going to do. This what you're going to need. He knew everything. That's why he said, I'll be back at such and such and such time, king. Yeah. You know, sometimes I don't know about none of y'all. Y'all can put a time on some stuff. You know, when people ask me to do something, Brother Hal, how long is it going to take? Well, let me pick on my wife. She ain't here. I know y'all going to tell it. The little bird going to tell. But she would say, Al, how long is it going to take you? I'm like, one, I don't know. You know, one, I ain't seen what I got to do. And I can go down there. When I get down there, I can look at it. Nehemiah had not even went yet. I can look at it and tell you what I think. But all behind the scenes, I can't see until I get into the work. You know, he knew what it was going to take. He had already seen behind the scenes what it was going to take. You know, you come here and try to do something with a structure or a vehicle or anything that you're working on, you just see what you see, what's on top. But you don't see all that other stuff that when you start breaking it loose, turning it apart, that's rotten this bad and you got to replace that. And so now I said 2 hours. Now it's going to be 20 hours. It's going to be 2 days. What? So he told the king, he gave him a set time. And he said, moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let the letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And the letter, and a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand upon my God upon, according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the river, and they gave the, and gave them the king's letter. Now the king has sent captains of the army and the horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Here it is that when Sanballat the enemy seen Nehemiah coming, it grieved him to his heart to see a man of God to come and see about the children of God. It grieves the devil when they see anybody coming. It ain't got to be no minister. It grieved the devil when God touched somebody's heart and say, go and lay hands on so-and-so. Go and pray for so-and-so. It grieved that devil. What you coming in here for? You ain't got no, all kind of stuff get to coming through your mind. Well, Lord, maybe I just can't. If God said you, if God sent you and told you to do it, then you got what it take. Because it ain't none of you, because God is in, inside of you. That's what it's going to take. And so when they came, when he came in and saw that this man of God, he knew that this man of God had nothing but good intentions for the people of God. When they see a pastor, man of God come in, the evangelist come in, ain't nothing but good intentions. He ain't going to have nothing bad to say to the folk. He ain't going to do nothing but try to lift him up. And that's what he was trying to do. And they was, the devil was mad. He said, and it grieved them exceedingly. I mean, exceedingly to their hearts, he said. They didn't want to see, Nehemiah come. It grieved the devil when Jesus came from heaven. When God sent his only begotten, it grieved him. And he met him. He said, yeah, let me try to get a hold of him before he get on past me. He tempted them all those times. It grieved the devil to see Jesus to come set us free. Jesus said, today's salvation has come to this house. You know, that's what God is telling Nehemiah. Today, salvation is going to come to Jerusalem. Today, when I get there, it's going to be some salvation come. He said, some things going to change. Jesus said, for the Son of Man come to seek and to save that which is lost. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days, and I rose in the night, and some few men with me, neither told I any man what God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was up under me to pass. Then I went up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered into the gate of valley. And so I returned. And the rulers knew not neither what I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. What Nehemiah saying, look, he went, God had given him something. God had stirred him up, so gave him a vision to see what was going on. So he said he had to go out there and check it out. But when he went out there, he didn't tell nobody what he was coming for. Sometimes when God tell us something, we got to go and tell it. And if you start telling stuff before it's time, things can get all out of whack. You know, here it is. God showed Nehemiah what to do, how to do it. It's in his heart. He had to have the faith to beat her. He wouldn't have never came. So when God tells us we got the faith, but if we start uttering what God tell us before time, some devil might get in there and say something and shake your faith. That's why sometimes you just got to study to be quiet. You know, you got to just let God do what he gonna do in you. Well, you know, brother, man, you know, God told me to do such and such, and God ain't told. He ain't tell you gonna tell nobody right now. I told you just go up there, Nehemiah. Brother Al, I told you to go up there and you just check this thing out. You know, I'm gonna give you a time to speak. I'm gonna give you a time to do something. You know? So God stirred him up, and we need a stirring in our souls. God stirred up Nehemiah. God gave him a gift, and God gave him a vision of what to do. And we need a vision today of what to do. We get down on our knees. We pray all the time, but we need a vision. The Bible tells me that without that vision, the people gonna perish. And the people was perishing because they had lost the vision that they had, because their walls was burnt down and they was kicked in. Everything was just rubble. They didn't have a vision. So without that vision, the people gonna perish. We need to be praying, asking God, God, give somebody a vision. Let somebody see something. Somebody need to see something. And if they see something, then God is ready to do something. But we have lost the vision. That's why we're crying for the revival. But I believe before the revival, God got to bring that vision. You just can't jump in revival. God got to show you something. He got to show us where we went wrong. He got to show us where the breaches are. Not so we can seal them up. He got to show us where the gaps are. Not so we can fill in the gaps. God gonna do this thing. God gonna revive. God gonna fill in the gaps. He gonna make up the hedges. It's gonna be God and God alone. That's why when so many people fall with them. When so-and-so make a mistake and fall, oh, they just gone down. No. You're supposed to keep your eyes up on God. Keep your eyes up on Jesus. He ain't never gonna fail. He's never failing. His word has never failed. Keep your eyes on the Lord and not on man. And so without that gift, without that vision, we gonna perish. So we need to be asking God, Lord, send somebody here, there, anywhere. Give them a vision, Lord, so we can start this work. We're praying, and that's the work. He prayed before he went. That was a work. But after he prayed, God showed him something. Has anybody seen? I ain't seen nothing. It's just in my heart to want to do something. But I can't do nothing because I ain't seen what to do. You send me somewhere and show me what to do, I can get it done. If God sent me, when he said, who shall go for us, Isaiah? Who shall we send? Isaiah said, I go, Lord. All of us saying we'll go, but we need to see something. God need to open up our eyes. Our eyes need to be enlightened so we can know what to do when we get to where we're going. You know, we get to all of this chaos out there. What we going to do? We get there. God show you what God, you just feel like you need to go to downtown St. Louis, Minnesota, Ferguson. When you get there, what's our stand? You know, Custer's last stand. What's your stand? What we going to do? You know, walk around in there. You be wondering what to do. But if God send you down there in Ferguson, gave you a vision, things will change. Things going to change when God get involved in it. When you just in it, you just going to be in it. And if God ain't in it, then ain't nothing going to change. You just in it by yourself, and you're going to be with the rest of them. Before you know it, you stayed alone enough, you're going to be having a sign up too. Oh, God. You're going to be walking by on there too. Then come to church service and start praising the Lord. Then, hey, Sunday night, since we don't have service on Sunday nights, we be back down on Sunday nights, waving it. Hey, look, now this ain't right, and this, that, and the other. But we need more than that. I know that's the only thing that the people understand to do right now. And that's what they're going to do. But we know what to do. We know we got to pray first. We know we got to seek God's face. But we're asking God to give us a vision. Lord, let us see beyond what we're seeing. It's something deeper in what's going on than what we're seeing. You know, we got to see in the spiritual. Well, I'm tired of looking at the natural stuff. That's daily to me. You know, you hear that stuff daily. But Lord, I'm looking for something different. You know, I'm looking for something new. I'm looking for something that you're going to do. You know, man can't do nothing. We can't do nothing. Without that vision, the people is going to perish. You got to have a vision. See, then I told them, that's 18. Did I read that already? Yes, Lord. Then I told them of my hand, which God was good unto me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise. Time to rise now. Let us build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. See, after God gave him the vision. He didn't say nothing beforehand. If he said something beforehand, they probably wouldn't start building a wall. When nobody would have been in power. Nobody would have been enthused about going to work. But then afterwards, he said, then I told him what God told me. See, when you tell somebody what God tell you, but sometimes even in this day, when God tells somebody to, you know, to say something or do something, somebody still got something negative to say. Well, I don't think the Lord said do that. This person, well, I think the Lord's, we were so confused, but the Bible says that then I told them of the hand of God, which was good unto me, as also the king's word. He had a confirmation and he said, so they strengthened their hands together for this good work. It's time for us as a church, as a body of Christ to strengthen ourselves together. And get this work done. We want to see a revival. We got to get a vision. We got to keep on praying and ask God to give somebody a vision. It don't make no difference who get the vision. It don't make no difference who get the vision. Because sometimes we want me to get the vision. I want to get the vision, Lord. God, I want to give you the vision. I want to give it to Sister Gwen. Come on. I want to give it to Sister. I want to give it to that baby right there. But Lord, give me the vision of people. No, God want to give the vision to. Lord, just give somebody a vision. Let somebody see something, Lord. And when we see something, God, then we can do something. But we can't do nothing because we ain't seeing nothing. We're groping around. Yeah, we're saints of the Most High. We're groping around like we're still in the darkness. We got to have some insight. We got to have some spiritual, pastor say some spiritual binoculars. You know, when God told Abraham, said, look as far as you can see now. I said, I will put my spiritual binoculars on so I can see beyond what I can see. We need to see in the spirit. We need to see some things. And so they strengthened their hands for this good work. God is just a good God. See, then I answered them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But ye have no portion, no right, no memorial in this, in Jerusalem. The enemy, you got some false prophets. They want to come and call themselves to work with you. But Nehemiah had another vision. He perceived that they would, you ain't got no part in this. And we got to be able to see and say, thank you. God bless you. But we got this. We got it. God called who he want to call. We going to pray and we going to get this thing done. Huh? We got it. We got it together. So let's go to Nehemiah 4. Verse 1, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we built the wall, and he was wroth, and took great indignation, and mocked the Jews. And he spake before, his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps and the rubbish which are burnt? And this is what God put on my spirit that is going to happen. I believe it's going to happen. This devil came to him and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Sometimes you just got to strengthen yourself. Yes. You know, you ain't always got to have somebody lay hands on you. You ain't always got to wait till the evangelist come. You ain't always got to wait till the prophet come. Sometimes you just got to encourage and strengthen yourself. David said, you know, I strengthen myself. I encourage my own self. When everybody else was against me, I still trusted God. I'm going to still look to God. So he said, will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? And sometimes you just got to give up some things. Sometimes we don't want to let go the television. We don't want to let go all this other stuff that's got us. We got to sacrifice. And once you strengthen yourself and sacrifice yourself, then you're going to see something happen. So what we really need is a reviving. We need to be brought back to life. The church need to be brought back to life. We need to be resuscitated. You know, the church seems like it's just dead, you know. It just seemed like that there is no life in church. The only life we got in church is music, praising God, having a good time, come back, do the same thing over and over. I'm ready to see some new hearts pumped. I'm ready to see some hearts come alive. Yes. I'm ready to see something new. I'm tired of the old stuff. You know, I've heard about Azusa Street. I heard about this. But, Lord, I want to see something right now. I want to see something in my time. Yes. You know, it's time for us to get revived. We call ourselves anyway the revival center. It's time for us to be revived. God need to pump on our chest a little bit. You know, he need to breathe in our mouth a little bit. You know, he need to bring us back to life. We got to get it together. And I ain't saying nobody. I'm just saying as a church. You know, we got to get to where this man was. You know, it reminds me of, I'm certified in first aid and CPR. How they teach you how to do that pumping on the chest and all that stuff. And they got this other thing. When you get tired, ain't nobody there. You wore off from pumping on the chest. You wore off from pumping on the chest. You wore off from pumping on the chest. You know, you can't just keep going. So they got this thing called an automated electronic defibrillator. Oh, let it do the work. You know, it's an external thing. They put that thing on this side of the heart and on that side of the heart, and then they say, stand clear. Trying to bring you back to life. Well, what we need is something internal. Come on. We don't need nothing external. We got all the external stuff that we need anyway. We need to be pumped on the inside. We need God to pump on us. We need some internal defibrillating. We need to be brought back to life. You know, and this external stuff, we're tired of the external. I am. You know, we need the internal awakening. You know, that internal awakening, it awakes the heart. It awakes the mind. It calls you to think a little bit different now. Once you get up off of Jesus' table, once you get up off of Jesus' ground, I ain't talking about the medical ground, when they bring you back to life, you the same old way. You go back out there and you're doing the same old thing. You know? Well, wasn't he dead? Yep, he was dead. He's still dead because he's still doing the same stuff. He ain't alive. He a walking dead man. But once you get up off of Jesus' table, once he get through pumping on your heart and he give you just one good Holy Ghost shocking, man, you're a new creature. You're a new man. Huh? You don't drink no more. You don't smoke no more. You don't even think like you used to think no more. I don't think bad about my brothers and sisters no more. I don't even feel that way no more. I don't even want to do it no more. Why don't you want to do that no more? Because, man, I don't even know. I just don't want to do it no more. It just left me. No, God give you an awakening. God wants to awaken this nation. God wants to awaken this world. He's tired of it himself. You know, God is going to get the glory out of this. God is saying, I believe God is saying, Let them all lay down. Lay them on down. Lay them 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 down. So I can get a hold of them. And when I get a hold of them, I'm going to rise them all up. It's going to be a new army. They're going to be a new creature. And so when God gives you an internal awakening, he gives you a new heart. You don't want to smoke no more. You don't want to lie still. You don't want to commit murder no more. The things, they become different to you, don't they? You start looking at things different now. Now, since I've been quickened, made alive, as Paul said, now I'm looking at stuff a whole different way, whereas I used to look at it as a that-a-way, like, man, I'm not seeing the same as I used to see. You know, let me put on my natural glasses. Well, they still don't work. You know, that dude I used to hate, man, I love him now. Them words I used to speak, man, I feel bad even when they just come to my mind. Lord, forgive me, because you know what I thought. You know, God is trying to wake us up. He's trying to give us a Holy Ghost revival inside of. The revival starts inside of you. It ain't nothing external. It's something on the inside of you. When God get down inside, when God truly get down inside of us, you're going to see the difference. You may not feel the difference, but folk going to be looking at you like, you different. You a changed man. You a changed woman. I don't know what it is about you, but something just different about you. I don't know what's going on. And Paul, when Peter was brought before God, he said, you ain't Peter no more. You Cephas. You a stone. You a rock. And up on this rock, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell won't prevail against it. He ain't said you're going to not have no troubles. He didn't say you ain't going to get scratched. He didn't say you're going to have a migraine. He didn't say you might break a bone. He said, but it won't rule over you. It will not prevail against you. It won't destroy you. It will not destroy you. So when God saw Peter, when Jesus saw Peter, he said, look, this ain't Peter no more. This is Cephas. Yeah, I know who he is. When God look at you, he said, yeah, I know who you are. You ain't Celeste no more. You ain't Gwen no more. You a stone. Peter caught that revelation. And he said, look, in 2 Peter 2:5, he said, ye also, as a lively stone, built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices. That's what Peter saw. And then he said, it just ain't for me now. I ain't the only stone now. Nehemiah, when he went to build this wall again, he said, give me letters to the keepers of the forest that I may have timber. But he did not ask nobody to give him no letter so he can bring some stones there and build this wall. He wasn't intending to build no wall out of no timber. I mean, he set fire to a timber and burn it up. He was looking for something solid. You know, he knew that all them stones, he said, well, I can use all these again. God, look at us, all the stuff that we go through. Oh, yeah, I can use him. Let me raise him up. I can use him again. I can use him again. I can use her again. You know, I can use them again. Yeah, y'all want, because they all burnt. Huh? You want to get rid of them and get you a new stone? No, I want that stone. Put it over here, Peter. Put it over there, Peter. Put it over there, Paul. I want to use them stones. God is finna raise this generation up. I don't care what nobody say. God is going to revive this generation. He going to put life back into them. They out there doing some ungodly things, just like you and me was. But God is going to put some life back into this nation. This generation is not lost. If this generation is lost, then God has no power. If this generation is lost, then God lost. And we know God has all power. As the sister said, he's what? Almighty. And God have not lost the case. He have not lost the battle. So God can't lose. So I don't care what's going on down in Ferguson, what's Minnesota, what's downtown, and wherever else. God is finna revive the stones. He finna quicken these mortal bodies. Just like he quickened your mortal body. God is going to do it. And no man, no flesh is going to get the glory. None whatsoever. And when you revive something, you bring it back to life. You restore it. you bring it back to consciousness. Love that. You bring it back to consciousness. What was dead, God is going to make live again. He's going to be able to use what the enemy thought he destroyed. God can use anything. And so out of the fire is going to come a great reviving of the stone. God going to revive his people, saints of God. Watch and see. God is going to revive our health. Yeah, well, we need that too, Lord. We need the people to change, but God want to revive some health. He want to revive some relationships. God want to bring this thing together. He want to revive people in our jobs. He want to revive neighbors. What God is trying to do is bring us together. So some of us have lost our peace, our happiness. We're laying like, oh, Lord God. Come on. What is going to happen? I'm tired of going through this. I'm down and I can't get up. I've fallen and I can't get up. Yes, you can get up. Yes. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. God is going to lift you up. You may not have brother and sister so-and-so there. You're going to lay down there until, oh, well, I know pastor going to call. She called me all the time about this time. Phone ain't ringing. Well, brother Down, I know he called. I ain't heard from him in a while. I'm going to stay right here until somebody pick me up. You keep staying down there if you want. You better call on Jesus. You better call on the name of the Lord, and he'll lift you up. He'll get you up out of that state. You just got to seek God. So God is going to revive it. Habakkuk reads in 3:2, he said, oh Lord, I have beseeched. I have heard of thy speech and was afraid. Oh Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In thy wrath, remember your mercy. He is saying, look, Lord, I've heard what you've done in the past, and I am filled with awe. Have God ever given you an eye-opening experience where you just make your eyes buck and your mouth just open? He said, I'm in awe. Watch what God do. Your eyes probably going to get twice as big. Your mouth literally might drop to the ground because you might fall face forward to the ground. You know, he said, look, Lord. He said, I am filled with awe. He said, now do again in our time. That's what Habakkuk's saying. Do again in our time. That's what we need to do. Lord, do it again in our time. The things that you did back then. Because you're the same God today as you was yesterday. You said you're no respecter person. So we need to be praying what Habakkuk prayed. Do in our times, Lord, these great deeds you used to do. And be merciful. Yes, Lord, God is merciful. Even in all of this stuff that's going on, God can just come down and say, I'm sick of you, I'm sick of you, I'm sick of you. He will sweep over the city, literally, sweeping all y'all on out here. Come on, sweep on out. And I can start over if I want to. He told Moses that, like, I can start over now. Don't think that he can't start over in this generation too now. He the same God, yes or no? I mean, he don't have that power, right? He can't start over. But God said, look, I'll sweep over this city, all right. But God is showing mercy, even in this. I see the hand of mercy upon God. You know, he said, look, sin is at the door. Sin is at the door for a lot of folk. Abel, sin is at the door. Now I know what you conspired in your heart. Church, don't go there. Don't answer that. Don't answer that knock. We got to distinguish the knock. Sin is that sin knocking at some folk though. But we got to know when Jesus knock. Come on. He ain't going to turn your door down. Sin at the door. Knocking like the police, like they're ready to kick in. Open up, it's the police. But Jesus say, we got to know who Jesus is in this day and this hour. And we want to open that door and let him come in. He said, look, I stand and knock at the door. If any man open it, I and my Father will come in. We will abide with you. He want to come in and abide with those people. We can't judge them folk. We can't say what God ought to do, what the police ought to do, and what these other folk, what they ought not to be doing. God knows what to do. We just need to ask God to give us a vision. That's all we need, a vision. He said, so God is trying to revive this church. And it's got to start with the church. That's why I'm on the church, because I'm the church. Well, God has got to revive me, because I don't want y'all thinking I'm picking on. God, revive me then, Lord. You know, revive me. Wake me up, God. You know, it's got to start with the church. Judgment gonna start with the church. So why not life start with the church? If judgment gonna start at the household of faith, life got to start. They can't have life without us. Spirit and life, the words of life is inside of us. So he's got to start with us. God need to wake us up. God is going to do this thing, saints of God. Watch and see, don't he do it. Let's go to Ezekiel 37 and 1. I know God is going to do it. I believe he's going to do it. This is set up just right for God. This is set up just right for him. It ain't set up right for us. You know, we want to go back to the norm. I don't want to go back to the norm. People say this is the new norm. I don't like the new norm. I don't want to go back to the old norm. I want something new. He said, I'm going to do a new thing. I want the new thing, Lord. Do the new thing. You know, I don't want the old norm. The old norm was just as bad as this new norm. You know, it is. I don't know about y'all. I mean, my job, I mean, hey, I work outdoors, but I'm still. Sometimes I'm out there, blah, da, 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 da. Gotta change that meter. Turn that water off. You know, it's the same thing. Lord, I'm looking for something new. You know? He said, you're a new creature. Any man in Christ, he's a new creature. So I'm looking for something new. I'm tired of the old norm and I don't like the new norm. God wants to give us something. He wants to give us that awe moment. He wants to make us be like, whoo. Yeah. You know, the people that don't say, whoo, you're going to say, whoo, one day. You're going to be, whoo, boy, you're going to be like, man, wow, amazing. Ain't God on. You can't wait to get back to church. You can't wait to get back and tell somebody else's testimony. You know, guess what I seen, y'all? And then some of us still be sitting there. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yeah. Hey, you got those kind of people. You know, Pat, I mean, the word say what? It's going to be a space of silence. A place of silence in heaven. He said, it's going to be quiet for me. I said, Lord, by no means I'm quiet. You know I ain't quiet. Lord, I try to humble myself, but man, oh Lord, but God wants to wake us up, saints of God. Ezekiel 37 and 1. And the hand of the Lord was up on me. Help me to know that God's hand's up on our life. It's got to be up on your life. Otherwise, we wouldn't be sitting here. God's hand's up on our life. It's up on you. The hand of God is up on you, and that's the Spirit of God is up on you. Whether you speak in tongues, whether you prophesy, whether you just sit there and you got a humble spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is up on you. You. The Spirit of God is up on his hand. His hand is up on your life. And he said, the hand of the Lord was up on me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And that what them folk look like to me, a bunch of dead bones, bunch of skeletons walking around there throwing fire and, you know, and all this old stuff. I mean, all this, I mean, just like a bunch of dead men walking. And he said, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. How many know that the Bible says that the enemy walks up and down in dry places? Them some dry folk out there. If they weren't dry, then they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. The enemy is out there amongst them, walking up and down in their spirits. You know, got their minds and got their hearts telling them this is what you ought to do. You know, the Spirit of God ain't going to tell us to do that. The Spirit of God telling us, and my God, I get it sometimes when I speak about peace. What you mean peace. Man, they have a right to be doing that. You crazy? What? You know, I'm like, well, Lord, I'm just going to be quiet. And I said, now another word before I get crucified. You know, here you, we're supposed to have peace out there. You know, if you can have a peaceful, you know, protest. And you ain't got to be burning up the store that you're going to need next month. You know, you ain't got to be doing all that stuff, man. Oh, man, you know what, man? They set my car on fire. Oh, man, we didn't know that was your car. You know, all that senseless stuff. Yes, it's senseless. Yes, something happened that was horrible. But come on here. They acting like they're real dry. No moisture on them, nothing. Huh? Only thing that can happen to a whole bunch of dry stuff, it can burn, it can catch on fire. I wish somebody's soul would catch on fire. That's the only thing that can happen with something dry. It can catch fire real fast. So we just wish. Yes. We wish somebody's soul out there would catch on fire. Say, wait a minute, man. Come on now. Let's, brothers. Like, who's that? Peter? Brothers. Peter and Paul, I'm beckoning with the hand. Come on, calm down now. Now, we ain't supposed to be doing this here now. That's my uncle's store. Well, he shouldn't have been over here. You know, we got something crazy to say. But he said, but they were very dry, he said. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? God is asking us right now, each and every one of us, not only in this church, but under the sound of my voice, can those people live again? Yes. Huh? They dry bones. Can they live again? He asked me, and he said, I answered, oh, Lord, thou knowest. Lord, you know it. Jesus said, look, when he said, look, what we going to do? Philip, all these folk here. And he said that because he already knew what he was going to do. God already knows what he's going to do. God just want to see if you on board. Ezekiel, you on board? I mean, what can these bones, man, look at these bones. They dry. They've been here for years. You know, can they live again? What you mean, Lord? You know, can they come back to life? Live. God, when God say live, he talking about life. He talking about breathing life. He said, thou knowest, Lord. Lord, we know that you already know. Again, he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I say, and I will lay sinew upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and ye shall know that I am God. He said, prophesy to these bones. He said, speak to the people. Get out there and just start speaking to the folk. You can catch them one by one. You get a group sometimes, you're going to have a rattle. Just get them one by one and just start speaking the word of God to them. Then go get another one, just start speaking the word of God to them. God want us to start prophesying to the folk, telling the people. You know, we say, well, yeah, we need to pray. But you know what, man? If you look like a great leader. You know that? You look really... Man, there's something about you. You look really great. You can be, man, I bet you those 10 guys right there, if you tell them what really is in your heart, what to do, I bet you they'll do it. Man, you got to speak some life to them folk. You can't go out there talking crazy to them. He said, prophesy to these bones. And he said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and bones came together, bone to bone. When he prophesied, he said he heard a noise. When we begin to speak, we're going to hear some noise. God's going to start shaking and rattling them kids. They're going to start moving up on them kids. And he said, and not just the kids. God's going to move up on men and women. He said bone to bone. It's going to be a shaking. And when we start prophesying, and he said, look here. He said, and when I beheld, lo, the sinew of the flesh came upon me and the skin covered them. above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy to the wind. All we got to do, we ain't got to be there. All we got to do is start speaking into the atmosphere. Lord, go on down to Ferguson. Get out there, Lord, in Minneapolis. Go in Denver, Lord. All we got to do is just start prophesying in the air, and God going to take that word over there, and it's going to get in him. And it's going to be, it was a great shaking, bone to bone. God is trying to put the black man with the white man. The white man with the Asian. The Asian with the Jew. The Jew with the Arab. God trying to make one man. That's going to be the shaking. That's what God is looking for. God is looking for us to get it together. God is, when we start prophesying and start speaking to these four winds, speaking into the atmosphere. If we believe our prayers are reaching the third heaven, it can reach across over into Minnesota. It can reach downtown. It can reach into Ferguson. It can reach into Denver. If we believe our prayers are that powerful, they leave this earth and get up there in the third atmosphere. It's the same word God is telling us, just speak the word and prophesy over those situations. We got to be there. I ain't got to be, well, Lord, if I, like Nehemiah, Lord, I can't make it to Denver. I can't make it there. But my words can. The Bible said the angels came for your words. So speak them. Speak, Lord, have mercy. Lord, turn those things around down there in Minnesota. Turn it around in Ferguson, Lord. Turn it around in Denver. Turn around, God. Turn all of it around. We got to start prophesying into the earth, Lord. It's going to happen. Well, I don't know why you're praying that way, because he said pray that way. He said speak to the dry bone. Them folk are dry. And I speak to you too, because you're talking negative too. Lord, I prophesy over you too. It's telling me why I'm prophesying that way. If somebody got to do it, God is looking for, and God is going to make up this new man. And he said, so I prophesied, and he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceedingly great army. I don't know about you, but I can truly say I can see an exceedingly great army. I couldn't say that before, but I can see an exceedingly great army is going to stand up for God. Amen. It's going to be some of those that you done prophesied. Some of those that you done prayed for, that you done pulled out of the fire. It ain't just one brand plucked out of fire. It's going to be several brands, several irons, several stones going to be pulled out of that fire. God going to pull a lot of people out. He's going to pull some people out that you think that, or you thought shouldn't have been pulled out. Paul says such was some of you. You know, you shouldn't have been pulled out then. Huh? You know, so God is trying to make this new man. And God did it. He sent Nehemiah to do it. God ain't going to do a whole lot of sinning right now. I don't believe. He going to send some. He gave some prophets. He gave some teachers. He gave some. But God wants to be exalted. God wants to be lifted up. You know, Nehemiah, he sent Nehemiah. Nehemiah means comforter. Yes. He sent the comforter to his people. So Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the comforter will not come upon you. He said, but in the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which is whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, and whatsoever I have said unto you. God is trying to do it and get the glory himself. He has already sent the comforter. Comforter is already here with us. So we just got to ask God to give us a vision, Lord, so your work can get done. This is God's work. This ain't Revival Center. This ain't Solomon's Temple. This ain't no church's work. This is God's work. God is allowing this to happen because I believe, as the scripture says, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But when it dies, it brings forth life. So don't think that out of death, life cannot come. Jesus was that corn of wheat. He died for us. Yes, he did. He fell to the ground. And then when he died, so many lives sprung up from Jesus. You. Many lives sprung up. So the things that we see, we ought not to be quick to judge and say, what should be done? God got a plan. And I'll let you know, I'm not stamping and condoning anything. I'm not saying anything. None of this is right. None of it. None of it is right. Put me out there. Yes, Brother Al Dees. None of said none of it's right. None. The protesting, the killing, none of it's right. But God is trying to do something in the midst of this people. He's trying to revive and resuscitate and bring us together. Like we talk a good talk, but it's time for us to walk the walk. Come on. It's a good talk when things are going good. It's a good talk when you're with your own brothers, your own flesh, your own kind. But let that good talk continue when you're out of your element, when you're out of your little circle. Uh-huh. Keep talking the good talk. Keep on spreading the gospel. Keep on saying, man, we got to have peace. We got to do this thing right. We got to do it. We, the people. Not of the United States. We, the people, which are called by his name. We, the people, got to do this. He's empowered us to do it. Now, Lord, give us a vision so we can get it, so you can get it done. He has sent the Comforter to get it done. He sent Nehemiah, and now he has sent his only begotten Son. And his only begotten Son has left us the Comforter to get it done. That's why no flesh is not going to be able to be lifted up. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl. It's going to be the Spirit of the only living God that we serve. God is going to revive. Watch and see. Watch and see. He's going to revive. May not. It may not come in my time. We may not see it. But I'm going to be like Abraham. I'm going to die believing if I don't see it. Bible said he died not receiving the promise, but he yet believed. He didn't stagger. He didn't get drunk at the faith. You know, he didn't fall short. Yeah, he laughed, they say. Could have been doggone it. Wow, you going to do that out of me, Lord? How about that? Huh? They could have laughed like that. Whew, Lord, you going to do that from me? You going out of me? Wow. But we say he laughed in doubt. I think he laughed. That was one of those awe moments. That was like, oh, you going to do that out of me? When the prophesy over you, evangelist prophesy over you, you'd be like, oh, Lord, thank you. You're going to do that out of me. Yes, he is going to do it. He going to be doing it out of you. It's going to be him in you working out of you. That's what's going to happen. Saints of God, be encouraged. Know that God wants to revive. God is going to revive. He's going to bring this stuff back to life. It's going to happen. It's got to happen because God said, I'm not a man that I shall lie, neither one I shall repent. God bless you. God bless you. I'm finished for today. I thank God for you. If anybody need Christ, anybody need to be revived, anybody need to come back to life, here in this building or over the internet, those that are in this building, you can come up, we can pray. If it's not salvation, if you need to be restored in any kind of way, your body could be hurting, you know, finances. Look, man, I heard that is the will of God. You know, I understand now, but I know you're not supposed to, you know, I ain't gonna say you're not supposed to, but God give me a little revelation. The secret things of God belong to him. But the things that are revealed to man belong to us. What's revealed to you? What's revealed to me in the scriptures? That I can be healed? If he didn't want me to know that, he wouldn't put it in the scripture. That's right. That my finance could be good. I ain't got to be poor. You know? Yes. That was revealed to me. You know? that I can do right. That these things are revealed to us. So they belong to us. So what belongs to you? Ain't no shame in asking for it. Salvation is yours. It was revealed to you. So whatever you need, the Comforter, the Spirit of God is here to give it to you today. Healing in your bodies, salvation in your life. You stand in proxy for somebody at home. You may have it all together. Everything may be doing well with you. I mean, you might be doing it 110. But think about the person that ain't doing. Come stand for that person. And it's not all about you. It's about them people out there that's going through. So with that being said, we all going to come up and we're going to pray for the people then, since we all doing well. We're going to pray for those that ain't doing well. Hallelujah. God wants us to revive. He wants to resuscitate. He wants to restore. He wants to do it. He's sending his Comforter, sending his preachers, his teachers. He's sending them to wake up the nation. Hallelujah.